Well, now, Wednesday, 5 p.m., just about, anyways. Time for American Hit Radio, 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. Myself, Tom Ryan, and my lovely wife and co-host and birthday girl, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well.
I am here.
Happy birthday.
Yet another turn around.
Yet again. What are you, 28? Something like that.
Something like that.
I can say that on the mic. I'll say nothing else, but leave it there. You're younger than me. That's for sure.
By quite a bit.
Not as much as you'd like it to be. I know that.
Well, you know, we keep it around number.
Well, of course, if you're a regular listener, you know Heidi and I have been doing this forever. And we've got two lists of albums that we're playing, the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40, where we play albums that did not make the top 40, but that we still think are valuable and have retained their importance over time, even if they are obscure. And that's exactly what we're going to be focusing on today, is one of the alternative top 40 albums. This is the era now, in other words, 1977, where we start to catch up. Because right now, the top 500 albums are pretty much well ahead of the alternative albums. But it takes a turn here, because music changes a lot in the 70s. Although this one isn't one of the reasons that music changed. It's sort of the other way around. This one is pretty much an album that represents the old school of rock and roll. It was released in June of 1977, and it peaked at number 182. So I'm pretty sure you never heard of this album. If you did, you'll understand why I'm playing it. And if you haven't, then I hope you will soon understand why I'm going to play it. It's by a woman named Valerie Carter. It's called Just a Stone's Throw Away. And yeah, it's a pretty obscure album, I suppose, by, you know, hit standards. But if you get to find out the people that are involved with the album, you might be surprised that it wasn't a big hit. Because despite recorded evidence that seems to suggest differently, the late 70s really weren't a particularly productive or happy time for the members of the band Little Feat. And I mention that because Little George is a key player on this album. See, before 1977, Little Feat released five albums, each of them stunningly distinctive and unique works of art. And we featured every one of those five albums in our series so far. The albums from this point on that they release, I don't cover at all. So there's a change. See, because changing lifestyles and musical tastes started to intervene and sort of messed up the mojo of the band. The unified approach that made Little Feat one of the most interesting bands in the world started to fracture in the mid-70s. Cocaine definitely played a significant role. But regardless, band leader Lowell George started to feel ostracized by his own band as they started to move in the direction of progressive jazz. I saw the band live quite a bit around this time, 1977, that is, and I have a very distinct memory of Lowell George leaving the stage as the band launched into a song called Day at the Dog Races, which was an instrumental jazz piece on their album Time Loves a Hero, which came out in, I think, 1977, maybe 76. After he walked off stage and the band started playing the song, George would suddenly reappear in the middle of the song with a fire extinguisher and shoot it at the players while they were playing the song. A second time, I saw him do the same thing, walk off stage, and then he came on with a pair of wire cutters to clip the strings off of Paul Barrera's guitar while he's playing. Now, I thought it was incredibly funny at the time, but Will George certainly made his point. The album containing that song, which, like I said, I think it was 1977's Time Loves a Hero, had very little input from Little George, and the record suffered for that. Although I don't know if the band appreciated his humor. So to stay active with music that reflected his own tastes, George went to work on his solo side project and also started to do production work. He produced Shakedown Street for the Grateful Dead. Yeah, meh, even the Dead fans, you know, don't love that album so much. But the project that best reflected George's musical acumen, even more than his own solo album, was Valerie Carter's Just a Stone's Throw Away. George shared production credits with George Massenberg and Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's a heck of a combination for a solo album by a woman who nobody knows at all. But his biggest input was the material that he provided. While Time Loves a Hero has only two tracks credited to George as a songwriter, this album, Just a Stone's Throw Away, has four. All of them new. Better yet, the band consisted of a wish list of LA's best session musicians, including Jeff Porcaro, Chuck Rainey, Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, some of Earth, Wind, and Fire, and most of Little Feat. All of the above is heartening, but none of it would matter really at all if Valerie Carter were not a spectacular and talented interpretive artist. She clearly stays in control while channeling the supportive skills of Lowell George and company, including a stunning update of the Five Stair Steps hit from 1970, the song Ooh Child. Her take on Lowell George and John Sebastian's song Face of Appalachia is definitive. And I know, like, John Sebastian recorded it, but this is the better version, even though he co-wrote it. Well, the title track sounds more like Little Feat than the band itself does on Time Loves a Hero. The two songs that Valerie Carter co-wrote with Lowell George are better than those that he supplied for that album. And the closing track, Back to Blue Some More, is a lyrical update of an old Little Feat song from their second album called Texas Rose Cafe. For Little Feat fans suffering from withdrawal, Just the Stones Throwaway was definitely soothing medication, something that I think I needed badly at the time. Now, Valerie Carter, seemed to have every qualification to be a superstar in her own right. But friends said that she lacked the self-centered personality required to deal with the machinations of the business. Her kindly nature allowed the album sessions to flourish, with each musician bringing the best that they had to offer in service of the album. And in most cases, albums that feature a backing vocalist as the center of attention are spotty affairs. But Just a Stone's Throw Away is unified and seamless. If somebody told me that Little Feat hired a female vocalist and this was the product, I would have believed it. But, you know, both Valerie Carter and Lowell George seem to be in their element, making music the best way they know how, without veering off course or straining for commercial approval. This era now, 1976, 1977, this marked the era when music reached its apex of slickness, with every note polished to a sheen. The punk movement would make this album feel obsolete within months of its release. But hindsight brings it back into clear focus, making it easier to appreciate it as the masterpiece that it is, despite what side of the fence it's on, while also providing clues as to what might have been had Lowell George survived beyond 1979. So basically what we've got here is a backup singer, woman, who managed to rein in some of the most talented session musicians and songwriters and producers in the LA scene, having bands like Earth, Wind, and Fire and Little Feat more or less coalesce to produce this record. And I just think it's amazing. The song opens with a song that I guess they would have intended to be a hit, because it was a song that already was a hit once, about 7 years earlier than when this album came out. And as I mentioned, in 1970, the song Ooh Child was a hit. So they figured maybe giving it another shot with an update might have done the same thing again. Didn't quite work out that way, but it's a great way to start the album because it's a beautiful version. Here's Ooh Child. From the people who are familiar with Valerie Carter, they think of her as like a studio singer or somebody who was part of like a country folk band. She was in a band called Howdy Moon, a Los Angeles band that really didn't go anywhere. But that's where she started out in the early 70s, and that's how she met Lowell George. But everybody thought of, you know, thinks of her mostly as a singer when she has songwriting chops. On the one side, as a singer, people have written, are so impressed with her voice that they've written songs about her. Stevie Winwood has a song called Valerie, and he said, oh, I wrote that for Valerie Carter. And Jackson Browne wrote a song called That Girl Could Sing, and he said, oh, yeah, I wrote that song for Valerie Carter. So there you go. But in the meantime, she was writing songs herself. In fact, they put out recently, at least posthumously, because she passed away about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, if I'm sad to say, but they put out an album called The Lost Tapes, and it included songs that where she had co-written songs, and she actually co-wrote a song with Prince called I Got Over It, which is on that album. I have yet to hear it, but I intend to. But in putting all that together, I'm mentioning that because this next song is written by Valerie Carter, with a co-write by somebody named Ron Koss. And it's a song called Ringing Doorbells in the Rain.
I'm so cold and so dry to the bone. Where can I run to keep from going? this window pane on the outside. Ring doorbells in the rain. Yeah. Just like a match tossed to the wind. This window pane on the outside, standing at your door again. I'm on the outside, ringing doorbells in the rain. Cold rain.
All right, Ringing Doorbells in the Rain, the second track from the album Just a Stone's Throw Away, the first album released by Valerie Carter. The album, if you hang in there, if you don't hear exactly what you're expecting with my introduction, the thing is, this album, what really amazes me is how diverse she really is. It's funky, it's a lot of folk, there's country rock, there's soft pop. And that's kind of like what we've heard so far. But there's also like jazz and blues stuff that comes up. It moves all over the place. And you'll hear the change like right now with this next song. This song is actually written by Lowell George with somebody named Yvonne Olds. A song that is apparently he had given it to Valerie because he could have easily put this on his own solo album, which he was working on at the exact same time. But as he's producing this album with Maurice White and George Massenburg, I guess depending on the track, you could be sure that Lil George was responsible for producing this track. He gave this song to her, and it's just amazing. This song can give me goosebumps. It's called Heartache.
There's no use in wishing, 'cause I ain't satisfied. I'm fit to be a misfit when you're at my side. Heartache, find another place to be. I'm tired of being your pain.
set up the work that Valerie Carter had done before and after this album, most of it after this album. Take quite a while, but I really want to drop some of the names because I think that's, it was this album that more or less, I think, propelled her at least to get a tremendous amount of work as a backup singer because she worked with Aaron Neville, Ann Murray, Christopher Cross on his solo album that went like a billion copies, Dan Fogelberg, Diana Ross, Don Henley, and Glenn Frey, Eddie Money, Jackson Browne on a number of albums, Nicolette Larson, Ringo Starr, Rod Stewart, you know, it's just never, Warren Zevon, Willie Nelson, sang with all these people. And as I said, also, you know, sometimes writing her own songs, but in this case, this is Lowell George, like, doing what I think he did best. Lowell George had this, he had a soft spot for women, there's no doubt about it. He loved beautiful women, and I'm sure that that had a lot to do with why he was perhaps working with Valerie Carter, but he was very generous with his time and his energy. If he knew that you could get something like really incredibly, like some beautiful work from them. And I think that this is one of the most obvious examples of him doing exactly that, because it's an album that when you hear the whole thing put together, it's kind of hard to beat. Like the next song on the album is also a song written by Lowell George in conjunction with John Sebastian. I mentioned that John Sebastian recorded a version of this himself. Lowell George, to my best of my knowledge, never did. But again, I think that the best version is this one that we're going to play right now from the album Just a Stone's Throw Away, Valerie Carter's version of Face of Appalachia.
Blocks of buildings with
that's gorgeous. Valerie Carter, just Stone's Throw Away is the album, and that song is Face of Appalachia, written by Lil George and John Sebastian of Love and Spoonful. Remind you that you're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York. The show is American at Radio, and we do this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. Right now I'm playing an album that I think that is grossly overlooked by time, which is why I'm doing it now, because I want to try to make up for some of that. And I think a good part of the songs that we covered were the songs that were produced by either George Massenberg, the last two certainly by Lowell George, but the other producer is Maurice White of Earth, Wind, and Fire. And here's where he comes into play, I think, on the last song that would have been on side one. The song's written by a guy named Skip Scarborough. Now, Skip wrote a bunch of songs for Earth, Wind, and Fire, songs like Love Music, Love's Holiday. He even wrote the song Earth, Wind, and Fire for Earth, Wind, and Fire. So just to put it in perspective, you might know him for a song that he wrote about 10 years after this album came out. He wrote a song called Giving You the Best I Got, which was a big hit for Anita Baker. So, you know, he wrote a lot of love songs. He's a dude that was born in Louisiana, moved to California, and made his living writing songs. Not a bad thing to do. And anyway, I bring all this up because since it is Maurice White who takes production on this, it seems to me that it's obvious that he knew this song written by Skip Scarborough and thought it would be a great one for Valerie to sing. So here is Maurice White's input to her, basically stylizing her on a song called So, So Happy.
That way to, oh, oh.
had ends side one of the album. Now, hang on, because side two is the killer side. Side two has got four songs. Three of them are Lil George productions. One of them is a Maurice White production. It kind of stands out like a sore thumb, but we'll get there. The first song on side two is the title song, A Stone's Throw Away. It's written by Barbara Keith and Doug Tibbles. I know nothing about Doug Tibbles, but I do know that Barbara Keith was a songwriter, not unlike Valerie Carter, who's in a band from the late 60s with John Hall, who eventually started the band Orleans, eventually became a politician, a good one. And the drummer was, and singer was, and the band was N.D. Smart. He eventually joined Leslie West to form Mountain. So most of that band became really famous. Unfortunately for Barbara Keith, she did not, although she did record a second solo album that it featured people like Leland Sklar, Spooner Oldham, and Lowell George. So this is how Lowell George got to know her, and I'm sure that that's why he said, oh, she wrote this great song, I've got to give this to Valerie, and it fits like a glove, and it became the title song. It's just, everything about this just sounds exactly like classic Little Feat when they're on their serious side. Here's A Stone's Throw Away. there's just so much Little Feat in that song that it's hard to believe. It's real. I mean, you read the credits. They don't say exactly who plays what on what song. But Billy Payne, Lowell George, Fred Tackett, Sammy Clayton, and Paul Barrere are all on the album. Every single member of the band except for drummer, Richie
That's
Haywood.
That's crazy.
Right?
Even her phrasing, it sounds like Lowell George.
He's a producer, so you could imagine him like saying, oh, round out that note, you know, make it a little more bluesy, that sort of a thing. She might do it on her own, but she sounds like she's singing.
Oh, I could probably clip something that a phrase she made and compare it to something that Lowell George sang.
I agree.
You'd hear similarities. So.
I totally agree. And you throw in people like John Hall, Jeff Porcaro, John Sebastian, Jackson Brown. These, you know, just all the people, you know, of course, I mentioned all the people from Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's just unbelievable. And this next song will more or less prove what you're saying, Heidi, I think. This is a song that's written by both Valerie Carter and Lowell George. So they put this one together. And again, maybe this is the best song on the album. As I roll through it, I'm just like, I don't know which one I love better. But this is another masterpiece. With Lowell George and Valerie Carter sharing the writing credit. It's called Cowboy Angel.
Just a dancing fool.
listening to that song makes me feel like it's 1977 again, because I can remember very well, I mean distinctly, how it felt to be like a rock and roll fan at that era. It was, change was in the air, and it was weird. The LA stuff was admittedly getting much too slick. Eagles, Hotel California, I've certainly spent a lot of time talking about that when we played that album. But, you know, Toto and Christopher Cross and everything else were pushing things very much in a direction that was not as easy to appreciate as the 60s rock and roll, when things were a little bit rougher and leaner, and you could chew on it. This stuff was really sweet, and it was prettified. And this album definitely sits in that category. I know that. I remember distinctly. It's why I loved this one in particular, because it retained some of its bluesiness and some, like, a little bit of a jazz feel here and there. And it made me feel happier than what was happening with the rest of the LA scene, because punk was happening at the exact same time. And punk was really very rudely, but I feel very appropriately, pushing that slickness aside, making it obsolete. Because by 1979, if you were making like really slick records like Toto and those other bands I was talking about, you were more or less laughed at that point, because you were just getting it wrong. You were on the wrong side of the fence. And that was where this album is like, I read some of the things that the critics say. It's like, this album, has become something of a cult favorite despite not breaking through on a massive scale at the time of its release. It is an effective exposition of all the sides of her talent. But the one that I like most is this comment about Valerie Carter. She had the misfortune to be born with lead singer talent, leading lady looks, but the soul of a woman who preferred remaining in the shadows. Absent the first two qualities, she would have been left alone and probably lived a much happier and longer life. Since she had those qualities in abundance, she was pushed to the front early and often. This album in particular spent a lot of time on my turntable in the 80s. Al Kooper, of all people, said Valerie was in a class by herself back then. And these two albums, meaning this and her second album, became constant companions. Just a stone's throw away with her two backup bands, Little Feat and Earth, Wind and Fire, was amazing. The second album is called Wild Child, and the backing band for that is primarily members of Toto. I felt too slick in that direction. But nevertheless, Al Kooper says it's everlasting greatness done perfectly. So there you have it. I mean, it's not just me. But it was on that cusp at that point in time. Now, there's one song left that comes from the Earth, Wind, and Fire side. It's quite obvious. This song has got the horns and pretty much the entire band of Earth, Wind, and Fire on this track. It's called City Lights. right, this leaves me with just enough time to play the last song, and I want to be sure to get it in because I think it's fabulous. It's the most interesting song on the album for sure. It's written by Valerie Carter and Lowell George once again, this time with Billy Payne of Little Feat as well, who's one of my favorite songwriters. And this is just a masterpiece and a great way to end it. It's called Back to Blue, Some More. I hope you enjoyed this. It meant the world to me. See you later. See you next week.
Listening to the jukebox.